Good morning to each one of you. This is a day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is beautiful and it's pretty. I've enjoyed watching the smiles on your faces as you gathered here. I've enjoyed seeing Merlin again. We welcome you to our worship. We're happy for each one who's here. We pray for those who are traveling. This is the time of the year. And we pray for all of us as it's going to get warmer this week. So prepare ye the way for being comfortable whenever you can. Any announcements that you'd like to make?
Always have an announcement. I just want to again point out each week this month we have had the Mars and Beyond flyer in your bulletin. We know that you guys all know about this and that this is not for just your attention. We'd like for you to consider this an invitation to take out of the bulletin with you. Take it and either personally invite someone that you know that may want to either be a participant or a volunteer, because both information is on here, or just strategically leave it somewhere in public where someone might see it and pick it up. If you have a place close by with you that has a public bulletin board, you could stick it up there. If you happen to leave it in the grocery store on the counter where somebody might see it, you could do that. But consider this a either intentional or a serendipitous invitation to someone who might pick it up and join us. And just a little update, we have 30 participants already registered, and some people still need to register, I know. Also, Opal continues throughout the summer. We have some regulars, and I am looking for folks who are tutors who might be available tomorrow evening, so if you can get back to me on that, I would appreciate it, and continue your prayers for the tutors and our clients. Thank you.
Debbie, thank you for your leadership. Kathy?
Yeah, I'd just like to say we need a few able bodies to help for a couple minutes after the service to set up tables for Opal tomorrow night. So if you're available, your help will be greatly appreciated.
Okay, strong arms, strong backs, you are invited. Any other announcements?
Yes, Kim.
Next Sunday is Randy's last and Peg's last Sunday with us. So just a reminder, we're having the carry-in luncheon for to honor Randy and Peg for their time with us. And if you have, just be thinking, you know, any stories or any thoughts that you might want to share next Sunday, you know, get them, let me know if you would want to say something. We'd like to have a little time of sharing during after we eat. So
you call it the good, bad, and ugly. Hope we have lots of good things to share. And I know one thing, this group knows how to make good food, so I'm sure we'll have good food. Any other announcements? Yes, John.
The very last hymn today is printed. The lyrics are printed in your bulletin, but you will find that it's a tune that you'll recognize and easily be able to sing.
Okay, thank you, John. All right, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we come to worship God.
Thank you.
morning. Would you please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship as printed in the bulletin. How does Jesus want us to love one another?
By reaching across the aisle and seeking common ground with those whose views differ from our own.
What are ways we can show the love of Jesus?
By welcoming the stranger instead of being afraid of them.
What else can we do to love our neighbor?
By standing up for injustice and inequity in our workplaces and communities.
And who are we called to love?
All God's people everywhere, young and old, rich and poor, those from other lands, and those who live nearby. Let's love one another with our whole being, heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus commanded it.
Let us pray. Creator God, we know that each person is made in your image. Yet, so many issues separate us from one another. Open our hearts and minds to the movement of your Spirit, who empowers us to actions of love and words of kindness. May all be drawn to follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Rain down your love on your people.
It's time for the children's story, and I have a special invitation of anybody who's perhaps a little older than children who would like to join me up front, who has been a part of Vacation Bible School here or somewhere else, because we're going to meet a friend and talk about Bible school today. Oh, come on, older folks. Somebody can come down here who's participated in Bible school before. I know you're out there, children of God. It's okay if you haven't been to our Bible school. All right, I want to introduce you to my friend here. As I got a few strange looks as I brought him in this morning. This is EP320, and he is from Mars, and he will be joining us this summer in a few weeks at our Vacation Bible School. So EP320 is new to our world, and he's wondering what Vacation Bible School is all about. So I'm hoping some of you who have been here before to this Bible school or a Bible school or anything that you have learned about Bible school, you might be able to share. So who can tell EP320 something about Bible school?
We learn a lot of things.
You learn a lot of things.
Usually there's a main theme, and they incorporate that in activities and games to where you learn stuff about God.
That is a really good summary. Any other ideas?
It's fun.
Oh, that's really important. It is fun. Do you know what kinds of games and activities, and you mentioned games and activities, what kinds of things do we do at Vacation Bible School? Does anybody want to throw out an idea?
We play games.
Okay, so we play games together, like recreation, yeah. We usually do that outside at this church, and you'll be happy to know that this summer we're going to do it inside in the air conditioning. So that's really exciting for us. What does your mother usually help us with?
Music.
So we sing, we have games, we make things. Right? Crafts. Usually we have crafts. And this year, some years, and this year in particular, we're going to have science experiments. And as Jonah pointed out, they all go back to our theme or our Bible story. So, this year we're partnering up here. You hold EP320 for me because he's kind of falling. this year we're going to have some Bible stories that we're going to learn about, and this is the theme chart. So we might not do every single activity that's on here, but you can see all the wonderful things that we're going to do in our worship service, our music, crafts, science, recreation. I heard Miss Jan whisper snacks. And we'll have a mission project this year, which we are going to do. Our mission project this year is going to be to further our plans for the sharing kits, the ones that Mr. Mark has been sharing with us about with the socks and toothbrushes. Our sister church actually does one as well, and so we're going to learn from each other and create kits for our mission this year. So anyway, I wanted to share the Bible stories this year that we're going to be covering include Daniel trusts God in the lion den on Monday. Queen Esther takes a stand on Tuesday. The Good Samaritan helps a fellow traveler. We're actually learning about that in children's church today, but the nice thing about Bible stories is that we can learn them over and over and learn new things from them. So we'll be doing that on Wednesday. On Thursday, Jesus heals 10 lepers. Now that's not a leopard, it's a leper, so we'll learn about that. And on Friday, Jesus comforts friends on the way to Emmaus. Those are our Bible stories for the week. Okay, so he wants, EP320 wants to make sure that you are welcome at Bible, you know that you're welcome at Bible school, and that so are your friends. So everybody in their bulletin has a little, I talked about it in announcements, but some of you came in a little bit late, so I want to make sure you see it. Miss Jan has hers. So everybody, all of those people out there, they have one of these in their bulletin, and I want you to take it out, and I want you to share it with someone. So I want you to think for a second, is there somebody that you can think of that you could invite? And you could name them here today. Who might you invite to come? Even if you can't be here because your schedule is not scheduling, who could you invite to come? Anybody have an idea? Anybody out there? Oh, yeah.
My friend Matthew.
Okay, so you can invite Matthew.
A bunch of our neighbors.
A bunch of our neighbors. That's awesome. And there's, if you need more of those because you have a bunch of neighbors, we have some big ones on the back table, and you can probably steal some out of the extra bulletins. Also, we have this information on Facebook, and on our website. So if you're a digital inviter, go ahead and do that. I wanted to share, every year we do something called a coloring showcase, and that's just a fun thing that we do so that we can celebrate and get sort of excited about VBS. So we have some coloring sheets, and even adults can participate, because I've had adults participate in previous years, and it's just a lot of fun to see the coloring sheets go up around the church. So this is EP 320, says To Mars and Beyond, and then this has Mars, and I think either Saturn or... It's probably Saturn because it's got the rings and EP 320 on this one. And this one's a little more detailed, probably for our older colorers or adults, although anybody can color who wants to. But I like this one especially because it has the memory verse for the week, which is, "Glory to God who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us," Ephesians 3:20. So anybody who would like a coloring sheet, I'm going to send them down with you to Children's Church. You don't have to do them there. You can take them home, and you can share them. Again, there's a lot of extra ones here. We can share them. And I have them digitally if anybody wants them to share. So those are some things to look forward to for Bible school. Are we ready to pray? Ready? Okay. Dear God, thank you for Vacation Bible School. And this chance to meet new friends and share your love. Please bless the volunteers and kids who will attend VBS. Amen. Ben, will you carry the prayer?
This morning is going to happen a little bit differently in that John, Debbie, and I have been a team of people working for the common good of this congregation through our various gifts and abilities and ministry. And so this morning we're sharing a portion of the scriptures of the Sermon on the Mount. Now let me be clear, the Sermon on the Mount is much, much more than we can cover in the sermons that we've been doing, but today we're going to cover five scriptures. And we're going to reflect just briefly, notice I say just briefly, about those scriptures so that we can carry forth an understanding of what is important. We're calling it a focused life. And the focused life really are these sayings of Jesus that come after the Lord's Prayer. Actually, they relate to the Lord's Prayer. So let us open our hearts and our minds as we begin the journey with Scripture.
Our first scripture comes from Matthew 6, 19 through 24, and if you'd like to join me, it's in the New Testament section of the Bible on page 6 of the New Testament. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth."
In this portion of scripture that you've heard read here this morning, we experience three sayings of Jesus. And if we did not hear it in the reading, what I want you to pick up on is that they are centered in one thing. Let God be your focus. In the first, Jesus is encouraging our consideration of what is our heart focused on. He is challenging and inviting. If one wants to know where our heart is focused, then check out our treasures, our billfolds, our decorations in our homes, the activities we're involved in. So what are our treasures? What do they mean to us? How do we see them in regard to the whole of our life? Heart in the Bible is the center of spiritual activity that influences the operations of our life. In other words, how we live. Where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. It is in God that we find the steady and the trustworthy. That will never wither, give up, or die. Treasure God, not possessions. The next session focuses on clear sight. Now, this scripture, as I prepared, makes a little better sense for me, because after I'm finished here, I am going to have to deal with a cataract that is causing things to look a little bit foggy. Not bad yet. I can drive a car, I can read, but it's obviously on its way to creating a problem for my sight. Healthy eyes in today's scripture, according to Richard Gardner, has Jesus referring to a clear vision as to what God is about, as God wills it on earth, but also from heaven. Healthy sight will fill us with an attitude of grace, love, kindness, and forgiveness toward others. We will feel differently, and others will see it in the way we choose to live. Finally, the third saying Jesus is offering, our focus is on God to do with who we give authority over our lives. In other words, who has authority over who we are and what we do? If we serve more than one God, Jesus is saying it'll break down our loyalty. We will become divided, and in our division, we will become less than nothing, because we'll have to choose one or the other, and likely we'll choose the wrong one unless we're very, very intentional. The Greek word for mammon is mamona, referring to material possessions, property, money, and belongings. Will we be devoted to our possessions, or will we be devoted to God? Jesus illustrates by his life and challenges in his teachings to let God be the choice. What choice will we make? Reading from Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? What will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Worrying will give you gray hair. I know this from experience. Now, I can't tell you how much of this is from aging and how much is from worrying, but what I can tell you is that stress is not my friend or our friend. God didn't create us to have worries, but we screwed that up in the Garden of Eden, and it's been worries ever since. Floods, wars, drought, famines, and dysfunctional families have plagued us, and it's not getting any better. Matthew says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? If we want to take these verses literally, we could run around in clothes made of grass or whatever and be perfectly happy. In fact, some of the early brethren took this very seriously. The hermits on the Wissahickon, as some were referred to, some of the colonial brethren who rejected civilization and decided they wanted to live simply and meditate on the banks of the river, they were pretty much okay with whatever came their way. The same thing for the inhabitants of the Ephrata cloisters, an ascetic brethren group who used to farm by pulling the plow themselves rather than using horses. They also slept with a piece of wood as a pillow. I don't have time to talk about all of that right now. It's fascinating, but Google Ephrata cloisters sometime. I don't think that they would understand our need for the latest version of the iPhone or that thing sitting on the coffee table, Echo or Alexa or whatever you call it. I'm so confused. Anyway, the scripture indicates worrying will not add a single hour to your life. In fact, it will likely subtract a few. I don't know about you, but I know a few people who are so not worried about anything that they could live forever. That's not me, so I have gray hair. What do you worry about? Everyone has their own set of worries. And we think that if we just make enough money and have a new enough house that the air conditioning won't go on the fritz, and a new enough car that the transmission works properly, and enough education to get the good job so that we have enough money for these things, that somehow we're going to feel better. I have news for us. We don't necessarily feel better. As the scripture tells us, no security in the typical things we tend to think gives us security. Now, a moment of confession. I am the worst when it comes to worrying. I analyze everything, and I work like the Dickens to avoid bad outcomes. This is otherwise known as control freak. I should probably have this scripture laminated and wear it around my neck. It has been said that awareness is half the battle. I read an article recently by someone named Kylan Lefave in which she points out that awareness is a lifelong process, so there's hope. The key phrase in the scripture text, I believe, is verse 33, which states, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." What sort of promise is this? Certainly, God is not promising to be sort of a happy Santa Claus and hand out goodies. Rather, Matthew tells us that the necessities needed will be provided given that we seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. This is the key to finding a balance in our living. Sure, we can live like the hermits on the Wissahickon. Sure, we can live abundantly here in Fairfax County, Virginia. Neither situation makes us good or bad people. But if we really seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness, we have a much better chance of coming out right side up in the worry sweepstakes. Listen now to the words of the song that Lisa's going to share with us, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Scripture is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, and you can find that in the New Testament on page 6. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is still in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you.
God instructs us that today's worries are enough and that tomorrow will bring its own worries. Are not our own faults enough that we should not look to others for our preoccupation? In the scripture that John just read, Jesus declares, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged." I find it helpful to note that in the context of the times, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees, who publicly and regularly pointed out the sins of others without applying the same scrutiny to their own actions. Here, Jesus is quite clearly explaining what it means to be a faithful and moral follower of God's plan for us. These words are often pulled out by those who, despite Jesus' simplicity and clarity, use the scripture to qualify their own sins as smaller than others, a speck in comparison, or perhaps the sins of others that are larger than their own, a log. How is it that readers and followers so blatantly reverse the very focus Jesus is teaching us? This reversal may come in our own thoughts. Well, if I'm judged by others for this tiny speck, then they are ignoring their own logs. Or, it is not my place to judge others' behaviors. Their sins are of no concern to me because I have this giant log protruding from my eye. I can hold no opinion at all. In reflection on the scripture, the actions of the Pharisees and the tendency to the apparent misconstruction of the lesson here, I have two would-be truths to share. First, Jesus was not setting up a standard of comparison for our sins to others. He did not say, judge yourself on this sliding scale of sin, speck, splinter, thorn, branch, log. I believe that Jesus was addressing that I tend to judge others while being blind to my own actions, thoughts, and heart. Why do I believe this? Well, the scripture reads, for the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the judgment you give, you by the measure you get. For the judgment you make, you will be judged, and for the judgment you give will be the measure you get. If my driving abilities were judged by the thoughts and the words that I utter about other drivers in this area, a very poor driver I would be labeled. Moreover, if I think, if their faith were stronger, they would try harder to be a better parent, teacher, volunteer, colleague, Christian, then I must truly examine my faith and its relationship to the roles in my life. Am I a parent with a strong enough faith? A teacher with enough compassion? A Christian? With enough love? I will be judged as I judge others, so I better focus on my own hospitality, peace, justice, and love. The second reflection I have about this scripture is that Jesus is not issuing an imperative to go remove your speck and then judge others. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will still see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. I mean, sure. It sounds like if you focus on your own perfection, then you will be worthy to go speck picking. However, if I think I have removed a log from my eye, only to see more clearly the speck in my neighbor's eyes, then I have no clarity of vision. For my vision, if my vision were clear, that would not enable me to see the neighbor's sins more clearly. If my vision were clear, then I will not see the tiny speck of sin, but the vast need of compassion, companionship, and love that others have in their eyes and in their lives. So, what happens when you stop focusing on the faults of others? Maybe. Just maybe there's room for more hospitality, for peace, for justice, for love. I invite you now to enter a time of quiet confession. Use this time to silently commune with God. Continuing in Matthew 7, you may continue to join me in the Pew Bible on page 7. 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?
So are you one who worries? John's invitation was to put God first. Are you one who judges? Debbie's challenge was to look at ourselves and what we bring to our relationships with others. Last Sunday, I talked about a guide for prayer. This saying of Jesus that was just read for you by Debbie uses a focus on approach. Trust in God's goodness. You know, it makes a difference how we come to God in prayer. Do we come anxiously? Do we come searching for redemption of fault finding? Do we come with our worries and our anxieties? Or do we come first of all, focused on thanksgiving? Thanksgiving that there is a God who is good and just, a God that doesn't shake us and condemn us and discourage us and put us down and treat us like junk. I still remember one author writing that God did not create junk. You are not junk. You have been created through the love and the grace of a God who will never, ever give up on you. Think about that. A God who believes in you more than you believe in yourself. A God who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, in the world to say clearly, I am making a path in our broken relationship for you to come unto me, and I will meet you. Like the story of the prodigal son. The father didn't wait in the room for the son who had went away and lived a sinful life. He didn't stand there in judgment of his son. He didn't stand there thinking, okay, if he's going to come back, he's got to come all the way. He's got to come through the door, climb up to where I'm looking out. No, he got on his shoe or his sandals, and he ran down the stairs, and he ran as hard as he could, and he opened his arms. That's the kind of God that this scripture is talking about. Do we believe? And do we begin our prayers with the thought that God is good? God is trustworthy. This scripture is talking about approach. It's about how we come to God. Paul really struggled with his life journey. You know, he wanted to be a zealot Jew. And he wanted to pursue the Christians because he thought they were upsetting the apple cart, and they really were, bringing in a new kind of religion. And he thought it was wrong. And then the Damascus Road upset his apple cart, threw him off of his horse, blinded him. And it was there that the great scales fell from his eyes. Paul knew what he said when he offered these words beginning in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation in Christ. And then he goes on with these powerful words, for I am convinced, notice the word, I am convinced. I don't have a shadow of a doubt. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus our Lord. I stake my ministry on this good and trustworthiness of God. And why? Not just because I claim it, not just because God has given me the privilege of being in ministry here in this place for 16 months. No. It's because I know it personally. So ask for God's love and mercy, and you shall find it. But begin with God's goodness. Search in the fog for God's love and mercy, and you shall discover it. But begin with your understanding of God's goodness. Knock in your distress and uncertainty, and the door will be opened to you. And who will meet you for the journey? A God who will never, never, never give up on you, and whose love for you and for us is everlasting. That's what we base our faith on. That's what the scripture is all about. Let it be so.
Hospitality, a warm welcome, is generosity. When we welcome each child of God into the life of this church, we extend God's own generous hospitality. Our gifts help this graceful ministry to flourish and to grow and to give glory to God. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Pray. Lord, let our congregation be a witness to you, immersed in scripture, constant in prayer, joyful in worship, generous in giving, a loving, supporting community reaching out to those in need. Accept these gifts we offer. In Jesus' name, amen.
The next scripture reading will continue from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12. And you can find this on page 7 in the New Testament. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets.